Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by RacePlace.com. Core Sports, the very best in women's athletic wear. Functions Smart Physical Therapy and our buddy Gino Cinco. And, of course, Babbittville Radio. You can check out any of our interviews on iTunes. Our next guest is going to become a member of the USA Triathlon Hall of Fame. She's a 15-time age group national champion, 6-time age group world champion. Joining us from Michigan, Karen McKeachy. Karen, how are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. So, Karen, take us back. Growing up, what sports were you involved with?
Sort of backyard softball.
Okay.
I mean, there weren't any sports for girls.
There really weren't, right? I mean, there really weren't a lot of opportunities for women,
no,
for girls back then.
Right. And my dad was a fast pitch softball player.
Yeah.
So I grew up with a softball bat and glove in my hands. I don't know when I started.
Yeah.
And I loved football. But, you know, I was just playing with a few of the neighbor boys occasionally.
Right.
But,
yeah.
So I was mostly, you know, that
just
kind of sport.
Recreational person. Stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff. So
yeah.
Even into high school, did they have sports for girls back then?
We had a thing called Girls Athletic Association that I think every year we actually had basketball. One year we may have volleyball. One year we had softball.
So they would just rotate around. It wasn't anything consistent.
Yeah, nothing. I guess whatever the gym teacher thought she could muster up, and we'd play another school.
Right. So, but it's, I mean, you seem like you were always an athletic kid. Was that hard for you, not really having a place to go or a sport to call your own?
Probably a little bit, but not as much because you don't know.
Right, that's true. Yeah, it's like that's just the way it is.
That's the way it is. I grew up out in the country. I had a neighbor family that had 9 kids. Fortunately, 5 were boys.
Yeah.
School, it's actually a little bit of my speech, but school, like, in second grade, the boys were fighting over captain so they could pick me first.
That's
in that
cool.
respect, you know, another time I was the only girl playing at recess, and we decided to ignore the teacher. So there's like 20 boys in the principal's office and me. So I did have a few outlets for my
Athletic ability. So,
not much.
And the guys could tell, right? The guys knew you were good.
Apparently, I mean, you know, I didn't think anything of it. I'm just like, you know, I can play.
Right.
Let me play. And it wasn't really till high school that I sort of was discriminated against because I was better than a lot of the boys.
Really? In what sport?
Cross-country running. Our school was small, so the very first year the boys even had cross-country was my senior year of high school.
Okay.
So they formed a team, and I happened to be running on a girls' AAU team at the time. And a neighboring school district's coach was pretty progressive, and he had a good girl runner. So he said, hey, why don't you run? And I was friends with her. And
yeah.
So you two girls run in this meet we're putting on, and I beat all but 2 of the boys. And I'm like, I'm in.
Right, yeah.
So they took a vote, and it was 2 letting me in on the team and everybody else against having me on the team.
Wow.
So
even though you were better than them.
Yeah, it sort of backfired.
Yeah. So, but you said was this your senior year?
Yeah.
And so, but were there scholarship opportunities for college or not really?
No. I looked for colleges that had girls' teams in
not many.
Very few, and the ones, my first choices, they didn't have any. And I went to a small school, and they had 2 or 3 Olympians training there. And between when I enrolled and the next in fall season,
yeah,
2 of them left.
Oh, my God. And what school was that?
Worcester, Ohio.
Worcester, Ohio. And so, like you said, you grew up sort of in out in the sticks a little bit in Michigan. Is that where you grew up?
Yeah. Outside of Ann Arbor.
Outside of Ann Arbor. So,
yeah.
but you went to a small college as well. So it probably wasn't that big a culture shock for you.
No, And that was partly, I really wanted to go to U of M, but my dad was a professor there. We lived 10 miles away, and like, I can't do that. I have to go be adventurous.
Right. You have to get out and try something new.
Yeah. So I stayed a year at Worcester, and then I transferred to U of M.
Oh, nice. So now at U of M, were there more opportunities?
Well, I was able to run on my AAU girls team.
Okay.
There weren't any. And a couple of years later, Michigan State had a team, which growing up with blue blood, it was very difficult, but I transferred to state just so I could run.
Oh, my God. Your dad must not have been happy about that.
He was fine. I mean, for my athletics. So, but I got my master's at Michigan.
And so what was your career path?
Engineering.
Okay, so engineering, and then while you were in college, were you running for fun? Other sports?
First few years, I ran like AAU stuff, and then I was also played varsity basketball and volleyball at U of M.
Wow.
And then when I transferred to state, it was an official team, so I ran track and cross country for Michigan State for a couple of years.
Now, were you cross country? Were you more suited for cross country or track, or pretty good in both?
I did probably cross country because I was more of maybe a strength rather than runner than a rhythm runner.
Right.
But I did well in those days on the track.
So out of college, were you running recreationally? Sort of the running movement, running boom was gaining momentum. People were running road races and things like that. Is that something you got into?
Yes, I switched to road races and marathons.
Yeah.
So I raced pretty hardcore, and that's, the road race scene.
And so was it that era where you were thinking, okay, I want to get to Boston, want to qualify to go to Boston and try to run a fast marathon?
Well, I ran the first marathon I qualified for Boston.
Oh, so that was no big deal. Okay.
No. And back then women had to run 3:10 or faster.
To all women, just to qualify.
If you were over 40, you could run 3:20.
Yeah.
But the under 40 all had to run 3:10.
And it's now it's slower, right?
Oh, it's way slow.
Isn't it funny? Because every other sport, it's gone the other way. Like triathlon, people are so much faster. But in running,
I think back when, in the 70s, that it was hardcore runners were only ones running.
It's true.
And now the masses, which is good, are running, and they need those incentives and goals, and it makes obviously, when I ran Boston, there were 3,000, and that was the biggest ever.
Right.
And now, what, they're 30,000.
Exactly, exactly. So you're doing marathons, and how many marathons did you end up running?
I ran 7.
Okay, and in PR?
2:48.
Wow. So did you qualify for Olympic trials then?
They didn't have then.
Oh, they didn't have Olympic trials. Oh, that's right, because they didn't have the first Olympic marathon until 84.
Yeah, I think they had the 1500 was the longest when
I remember that. Even Mary Slaney's era, she was the best at all these distances. They didn't have the 10K, they didn't have the 5K.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that was that was a little bit of a bummer. and when did you find triathlon?
1982, Lou talked me into trying one.
Ah, Lou Kidder, yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, at that, so you, which was your first one?
A little race up in northern Michigan.
And I'm assuming you won it?
Actually, I think I was just looking through all that stuff, trying to jog my memory for things.
Yeah.
I think I may have been fourth.
Okay. But that was the first time out, and did you like it right away?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't. I was also competing in the Michigan Running Grand Prix Series, and I was winning that, so I didn't do any more that year. I was like, I'm still. But the next year I got pretty serious and decided pretty much to switch.
Yeah, and now did you primarily focus? Of course, there weren't a lot of opportunities or not a lot of options in terms of distances. Did you do Ironman distance as well as the Olympic distance?
Mostly Olympic. Back in 83, I decided I wanted to do the Ironman.
Yeah.
But they had different qualifying system then, and you had to meet these standards in two of the disciplines or something. Oh,
that's right. I remember that.
I couldn't quite make the swim standard or something. I vaguely remember.
Yeah.
Probably the swim, because that was...
Yeah, that was...
And then the next year, I got in, and I got eighth overall. So I was like, you guys...
Yeah, you wouldn't let me in last year, and I got eighth overall. Right, yeah. Right. And you saw how some of the people were swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah, backstroke.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
So how many Ironmans did you end up doing?
Nine
Ironmans. And...
Nine. All Kona.
All Kona. Yeah, that's all the ones I've done were over in Hawaii, too.
Yeah, it's like the others don't count. No.
Exactly, exactly. And so was the eighth your best finish as a pro?
Yeah. That was 84.
Yeah.
86, I was in eighth place halfway through the marathon, actually feeling great, and I IT band went.
Oh, yuck.
So it doesn't count for anything, but I also... I think the second year I got 17th.
Yeah. When you look back on triathlon, you talk about, you know, 15 age group national championships and 6 age group world championships. What's been the toughest part about the whole aging process? I mean, how have you had to change? How have you had to adapt to, you know, to follow time?
Training less.
Yeah. More quality. Or just trying to maybe replace some runs with more bike rides of the pounding?
Probably a bit, yeah. And the biggest adjustment is a brain function where you look at your watch after you got done with a run and you're like, what's going on? Like
That's not my time.
Training pace, but I just finished a race.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. I just ran the Carlsbad 5000 last weekend. I remember running under 20 minutes at one point in my life, and now I'm like excited to go under 30 minutes. And you're going, wow, I used to be at the finish by now, and I'm halfway through. What the heck?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the worst part.
Yeah.
But, you were involved with the creation of what became Inside a Triathlon magazine, Triathlon Today. When you guys started that, you started it with Lou, I think.
Yeah, it was Lou's brainchild and hard work.
Right. Well, but you were part of that.
Yes.
And watching the sport grow over the years, what surprised you the most?
How fast some women are.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. What they can do.
Yeah. And the numbers of women.
Yeah.
Because when you started and when I started, it was about maybe 5 to 10% women.
Yeah.
And now in marathons, it's like 65% women. And in triathlon, I think a lot of races are close to 50-50.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, it's great.
It is great. But the fact that you're still competitive, that you're still doing this, does it surprise you?
I don't know, actually. I don't think about it. I guess I do think about it. I think now, like, why am I still doing this? And I'm like, I love it.
Exactly, right?
And I'm like, people are like, aren't you going to retire something? I'm like,
why?
Well,
what would I do?
Yeah, maybe when I don't like it anymore.
You know, it's funny. I was standing at a race this last year. And it's, I don't know, 5:30 in the morning, and the sun's coming up, and I'm with some of the other guys in what I call the 60 to death category. You know, the same guy. Basically, it's like a reunion every weekend.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there going, why do we do this? Because we can. Because we can still do it. There's nothing better, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like working out. It makes you feel good.
It does. So how much training do you still get to do? Do you train a couple hours a day?
Minimum.
Minimum, yeah. Oh, more than that?
I'm getting a little carried away. I did a 2.5-hour indoor CompuTrainer ride today.
Wow.
I do Yeah, I'd say basically at least an hour and a half, and sometimes, you know, 2.5, 3.
Right. Someone, as over time, you've been involved with, you know, putting on running races and triathlons and marathon swims. How is, has that, are you still involved with putting events on, and how has that changed?
We are, not too much. We're putting on a multi-sport relay that's swimming, biking,
yep,
running, canoeing, and we're throwing in an obstacle course.
Love it.
It's like 9 legs. It covers 42 miles, 5 people. So it's just a different crowd. You know, you get the more recreational athletes,
yep,
doing your races, and you have to start, you know, make sure you're thinking that what they can do and handle and like.
Right. Yeah, what's interesting is it used to be, you know, you geared up a running event for runners and triathlon event for triathletes, and nowadays with you know, everything from Tough Mudder to Spartan Race to Muddy Buddy, you just have to come up with stuff that's fun. People want to, it's endurance entertainment. They're not just looking for, they're not looking at their watch. In fact, they might not even bring a watch.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So it's a different crowd than we're used to.
That's hard for me to,
yes,
think.
Yeah.
I'm in charge of coming up with the obstacle course, and I'm racking my brain going, what do people think is fun? I just want to race.
People like mud pits. People like,
yep,
inflatables with slides on them.
That's what we're doing, one of those.
Yep, they're fun.
It's like 80 feet long. They have to go through stuff and come down a slide.
Isn't that, they'll love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. That's what we used to have at Muddy Buddy, the big big inflatable. You climb up a cargo net and slide down a slide. And we used to have 2 of those on the course, and people loved it. You know, it's pretty easy for you to put up, you know, and then people love mud pits. Those are always good.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Lou doesn't. But I think I've got him. I'm going to try to make a slip and slide.
Yes.
Huge slip and slide course, and then, of course, it's going to get muddy at the bottom.
Of course, yeah. And that sort of leads into the mud. I like that.
Yeah,
a lot.
And I want to do something where they're trying to jump or run with swimming fins on and shooting water balloons at them.
Exactly, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Anything that's different, people will dig.
Yeah.
So when I look back at the different things you've accomplished, and, you know, when in 99, USA Triathlon, overall triathlete of the year, you know, only woman over 40 to ever win that honor. When you look back, is there a race or two that stick out in terms of being your best races or the best you felt during a race?
Nothing that really just jumps out as,
yeah,
like the great, best performance or anything. I mean, I was, like my first 84 Ironman was stand out just because I was like blown away with how well I did.
Well, especially the they didn't let you in the year before.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that certainly would do it.
And a few of my most recent Nationals and,
yeah,
this year's Worlds have been just like things flowed well and felt,
yeah,
great.
Well, and the win, you were 58 when you won a triathlon overall?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've still been trying. There's some local stuff. I like got second a few times. Like, gal, didn't they tell her that she shouldn't have come today? Well, I could be 60 and win.
Well, yeah, and then when you turn 60... You win both the national championship at sprint and Olympic on the same,
yeah,
weekend. That's pretty cool.
And 61.
And you did that when you're 61 as well. Nice.
Yeah, that's fun. Those were the, like, fun,
yeah,
you know, memory, race memory.
Have you had, because you've gone through a lot of different age divisions since you started this stuff, has there been one rival who's been pretty consistent and has stayed with you through a number of these age divisions? Or have you worn them all out?
No, well, a lot have come and gone, lot.
Yeah.
I've had, yeah, quite a few come and go, and there's nobody in my...
Is there anybody you've had, you know, like during the era that you were in the same age division where you just had some classic races?
Laura Sophia used to beat all the time.
Yes.
Now, some, I don't know.
Yeah, she's pretty tough. She's really tough. And you've been dealing with rheumatoid arthritis for a number of years.
Yes.
And how is triathlon been helpful for that?
Yeah, because doing the other two sports, running got really difficult for a while.
Yeah. Do you have any goals that are left out there for you besides just getting to the next age division?
Being Grandmasters of the Year.
Grandmaster of the Year. There you go. What is that? Is that 60 and
well,
over?
Well, I'll air my... For women, it's 55 and over. For men, it's 60 and over.
Why would it be different, I wonder?
That should be my point.
I think it's a good point. Similar to we're talking about right now, the 35 women Tacoma pros and 50 men. There's certain things that just, wait, that just doesn't smell right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's to me, it's like a chicken and egg argument. They say, well, some degree, there are not as many people, so you don't get as many awards, so there aren't as many awards, so not as many people come.
Right. Well, exactly. I remember I used to get a call every few years from Bill Bell, who's 92 now and still racing, and he'd be like, Bob, the age division is 50 and over. We need to add 55 and then he'd call me, Bob, it's 55 and over. It's 60. Eventually, it's like just you need to have age divisions all the way up, just like and 60 and over for men and 60 over for women will encourage women to keep racing.
Right. And, I just think it just should be equal.
I agree. Never, no reason why it shouldn't be.
Maybe there aren't quite as many people, but it still should be equal. It's not like that much skin off a race director's.
No.
To have one more award or something.
Hey, what we do with Bill Bell now is the race director calls him up and says, are you coming? Yes.
Right.
And they just make a trophy.
Yeah.
It makes it easier. So, Karen, finding out that you're being inducted into the USA Triathlon Hall of Fame, was that a surprise?
Yes. Yeah, it was quite a surprise. And I still sort of it sinks in, but sort of doesn't sink in, or the whole thing. I mean, it's amazing, and I'm so happy and proud, and all this, and then I'm petrified because the induction ceremony.
You'll be great. You'll have a blast. You think about it's you, it's Tim DeBoom and Susan Williams and Dan Emfield. It's a great group that's going in this year, and well deserved when you look at everything you've accomplished, from being involved with one of the first magazines in the sport to being a race director to being a dominant female athlete in the sport. There's absolutely, you're totally well-deserved. Yeah. Congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you.
And the ceremony's coming up in Boston at the Harvard Club on April 18th, Saturday evening. And people can go on, I think, usatriathlon.org and still get tickets for that. Karen, thank you so much for taking time. Congratulations on everything you've achieved.
Thank you.
All right, Karen McKeachy has been our guest. Again, we are brought to you by Core Sports, the very best in women's active wear, RacePlace.com, Head Sweats, Function Smart Physical Therapy, and Babbittville Radio. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.